I almost said good morning. I guess I'm getting ready for Sunday mornings in a few weeks. But it's great to see y'all tonight. And I'm going to be sharing, of course, from Psalm 139, as y'all heard. I'm going to pray, and we're going to get started. Okay? We have a lot of ground to cover. It's 24 verses. So get ready. Here we go. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this word. I thank you for this psalm, Lord, and all the amazing things that you share with us, Lord, about who you are, and about who we are, and about what we're called to do and be about. Father, I pray that tonight you would touch our hearts, our minds, our souls, wherever we need to be touched, Lord, whatever we need to hear from you, God. I pray that we would hear that tonight. I pray that your word would speak powerfully to us. Change us, God. I pray that tonight we would trust in your word and believe your word and what you say, Lord. It wouldn't just be in our minds, but it'd be deeper in our hearts and in our souls. I pray, God, that you would change us from the inside out. I pray that you would break lies. If there are things in our minds and hearts we're believing, we've held on to, maybe they're familiar, they sound right, they got to be true. I hear them all the time. But if they're lies, I pray that you would shatter them. Open our eyes tonight to hear you, to hear what you are saying to us, and to respond. Give us humble, hungry hearts to respond to what you're doing in our lives and what you intend. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight's message is called, God is Crazy About You. God is crazy about you. And before I get into this, I wanted to tell you that this is you plural in a sense, but it's really you singular. And I want to start off saying this because sometimes when we hear things, if they're good things, sometimes we're like, well, that must not be for me. That must be for the other people, the other person over here. But this message is for each of us. It's for each of you. And if you're here tonight, God, I believe, has something to say to you from his word. And I don't know what it is, but you know what? He's going to show you what it is. I know he's going to show you. So this stuff that I'm saying, it almost sounds, some of it, like too good to be true. But it is true. It's his word, and it's for you tonight, that God is crazy about you. You know, no matter what you kind of think of yourself, sort of, he's crazy about you. He created you. We're going to get to that in a little bit. So, in this psalm, we're reminded about the remarkable fact that God knows every intimate detail of our lives, every little bitty thing, good, bad, and ugly, and loves us anyway. Loves us anyway, no matter what. We're also reminded of the way that God tenderly created us and superintended every area of our lives, and he still does, okay? And it's for our good and for his glory. He loves us so much, these things he does in our lives, it's for our good. And I know it's hard for us sometimes to see that, but it is for our good and his glory. As we work through this passage, I'm going to summarize some of the main ideas. We're going to break it down to 5 sections. I'll summarize each section. We're going to go through it verse by verse. I'm going to elaborate on some ideas. And I'm going to also suggest some specific application points. So there may be some of those things that are for you, you feel like, that's for me. There may be something else as I'm speaking that God just tells you, and that's for you to apply to and respond. All right, so let's do verses 1 through 6. Verses 1 through 6, if you can put them up here in the overhead, please. Here's my summary for verses 1 to 6, that God knows everything there is to know about you, everything. He is about your good, and this is remarkable. He knows everything about you. It's for your good, and it is remarkable. In verse 1, it says, O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. This word search means to penetrate, to dig in deep. This word also can also mean to examine with pain and care, to examine pain and care. Way back when, the Jewish people used this word to describe digging deep into a mine or exploring the land or investigating a legal case. Okay, it was kind of a detailed type of searching there. He searches us. He knows us. And what does he know about us? What? Everything. He knows everything about us. Let's go on to verses 2 and 3. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. He knows everything about us. One thing I saw here was definitely our actions. He mentioned our sitting, our rising, our going out, our lying down. In this, when it says he discerns these things, it's kind of like winnowing. It's like the wheat and the chaff. He can discern and see what we're doing, okay, and like good and bad, okay. He knows these things. He knows our thoughts, and he perceives them with insight from afar. He knows everything. He knows our words, even before we speak them. He knows what we're going to say, what we're going to do. He is familiar with all our ways. I'm going to get back to that in just a little bit. One thing about this real quick, too, is that he knows us. Sometimes it could be sort of scary, like, okay, he knows everything. Okay, that's kind of bad. It's kind of scary, okay? Sometimes it can be kind of good, okay? And that's kind of what I'm, really focusing on tonight. But really, if we remember, is that he is, God is love. He's out for our good. He knows all that stuff and still loves us. So I see this really as a loving Father who knows us, discerns what's going on in our lives, familiar with all our ways. In verse 5, it says, you hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. In a sense, God is all over us, but it's in a formative way. It's in a formative way to help. And it's for our good, like I've said before. Another way this word, the hem me in, is to guard a valuable object. To guard or take care of a valuable object. That's what he's doing with us. That's what he's doing with you. For you, each of you, like I've said. All of us, but each of you. Guarding you like a valuable object. God's knowledge and guidance are for our protection. It's for our protection. For our good. Verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. All these things that David was talking about, he said, this is way too good, way too wonderful. The knowledge that you know me intimately and are all about me for my good is wonderful. It's remarkable. Can also mean remarkable. That's why I said this stuff is remarkable. Also, when it says too lofty, that can also mean, or it means especially inaccessible, like there's no way I could fully understand it. Because if we think about it, in a sense, it doesn't make sense. But it doesn't have to make sense, okay? We just need to trust what he says and latch onto it and believe it and not let go. So, here's one application point so far from this first section. Is to don't believe the lie that he doesn't see you or care about you. Don't believe it. It is a lie, a falsehood. Okay? Fiction. If you feel like sometimes he doesn't see you, he doesn't know, or he doesn't care. We've all been there at different times. Okay? And some of y'all may be going through that now. And that's, I believe, a word from God for you. He sees you. He does know, and he cares. He sees. We're going to go on to the next section. If you can go to the next verses, from verses 7 to 12. Here's my summary for this, is that you cannot get away from God. He is present to guide you through any and every situation. You can't get away from him, and this is a good thing, too. This is a great thing. And he's present to guide us through any and every situation. He's present to guide you through any and every situation. That thing that you have no idea what in the world you're going to do, we need to give it to him. Scripture says to cast all our anxieties onto him. Why? because he cares for us. You can give that to him, whatever it is, big or small. If you've been through it before, and it's again, or it's a first time, you have absolutely no idea what to do. Give it to him. He knows what to do. All right, in verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? The short answer, of course, is nowhere. Or we'll dig a little deeper, okay? We'll get a little more. Let y'all go home. I can't do that. Alan says, no. I've got at least an hour, right? Okay, just teasing. All right, verse 8. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. So we have some word pictures here. Okay, he's saying, where could I get away from you? Where? Okay, he's kind of asking that. Well, really nowhere, okay? Saying up to the heavens? No, you're there. Down to the depths? Okay, like Hades, Sheol, which is basically Old Testament equivalent of hell, basically. Find yourself over there. Maybe you didn't mean to get there, but you find yourself, you feel like, this is figuratively, right? Like your life is kind of like that, okay? He is there in that place, and he wants to hold you. He is holding you. Realize that and accept that. He's there. He is going to take care of you. He's also given the pictures here from horizontal extremes. We had vertical and horizontal extremes, okay? This is like from the first rays of the sun in the east to the farthest edge of the west, the sea over there, that God is here. So the picture is, wherever you are, he is there. As I mentioned, he is with you. If you know him, you're his child, he can't leave you. He is inside of you by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you if you are his child and you know him. He's with you. The one who walks beside is with you. Besides that, God is everywhere also, okay? He's there. And he's not only present, as I mentioned, but he wishes to guide you with his strong hands. Some of us, and I've had some people tell me this, and it seems like it's like, I've heard a few young ladies say this too, that like their dad was not there to really to guide them, to kind of nurture them, to kind of show them the way to go. Okay? He is not that kind of God. He is not that kind of father. He is here to guide, to strengthen you, to nurture you, to show you, to lead you. He's not standoff. You're like, or he's too busy, or he doesn't have time for you. He created you. We're going to get to that in a little bit. He has time. Trust me. He is here for you. He is here to nurture you. He's not trying to hold us back, but to lovingly guide us forward the way he wants us to go, to lead us and to nurture us. He is filled with love for you. Of course, sometimes he's going to tell us that is not the way to go, son or daughter. It's over here, okay? Of course. But it's out of love. It's the heart of love. Verses 11 and 12. So remember we talked about heights and depths, the east and the west, basically. Okay, the first little glimmer of the sun coming, okay, and to the other side of the sea. Verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, surely, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Okay? So we say, not even the darkness can hide us. Not even. Even if you think the darkness in your life and what you're going through, it's going to kind of keep you from God, sort of, and separate you from God, it cannot. And I really like the scripture that Brother Bill shared earlier from Romans 8:35. I was going to mention that too in a second. But we'll mention that right now. Romans 8:35 and following, he read maybe at least portion of that, okay? Talks about that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And if you feel like in that place, you feel like you're kind of away or something, you know his child, but you feel something going, do yourself a favor, dig into this passage tonight when you get home, in the morning, tomorrow night when you're going to bed. Dig into it. Dig into it. It's for you. This darkness also could be, figuratively, could be misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, all kinds of things. You feel like it's going to hide you. or overwhelm you. The hiding could also be overwhelming you. It can't. He still sees you. He sees through your troubled times. No matter what they are, you feel it's dark. I've been there too. He still sees. He cares. He loves. He's here for you, no matter what you're going through. The scripture earlier, the verse about you are familiar with all my ways, really impacted me in a real personal way. I was in my early 20s. I was going through a real dark time, just struggling with some different stuff and mainly really father-type stuff in my own life and all that, okay? And actually, in all my years, that was actually the lowest point I've really ever been at. That was the lowest. And then somebody told me that they wanted me to read Psalm 139. And at first, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, right? At first, I really wasn't that excited about it. Because I was like, yeah. You know, maybe like some of y'all are doing, maybe, I don't know, okay? I've heard that and kind of know that. But I thought, you know what? I'm desperate. And if this person told me to eat dirt right now, I'm going to eat dirt. Because I felt desperate. So I got into Psalm 139. And then, you know, I don't remember exactly how long it took, but basically God broke through to my life and my mind and my heart from that particular verse. That He was familiar with all my ways. He saw what was going on in my life. He knew what was going on, and He knew, and He cared, and He was taking action. At the same time in my life, I was at a conference, or I don't remember what it was, but we were having a worship time. I was seated about the second or third row, and the front row, something began happening. I began watching, and God used this experience to speak to me. And basically, there was a daughter. She was about, I don't know, 18, 20, 22. She was a college student, part of our college group. She was in the front row, and I don't know what was going on in her life, but she just started crying and bawling, crying. And she knelt down, and she started praying. And, well, a row or two behind her, I don't know exactly how it worked. I can't remember. Maybe I was third. I don't know. But her father happened to be in the room. Her father was there at our church or at the conference, whatever it was. And I'm watching this, and he sees what's happening. And he saw that, and he moved some chairs aside. And I may have told you this in the past. I can't remember. It always seems to come up every time I talk. I don't know how. But anyway, he moved some chairs aside, and he went over to her, knelt down with her, and prayed with her. You know, put his hand on his back and started praying with her, praying for her, encouraging her. And God spoke to me at that time. And He was saying, just like that natural father did for his daughter, that He saw me and what I was going through, and He cared, and He was doing something about it. And that changed my life, basically. That just made all the difference. And my prayer is that tonight that God will speak to y'all in some way through this message, that He will use His word and thoughts about His word to speak to you, to show you an area where, you know, maybe if you feel like you're in the darkness or there's a lie you've been believing, but God wants to open you up to His truth, that He'll set you free too. So, the application here is, don't believe the lie that something can keep you from God or His love. Don't believe it. It can't. Romans 8:35, read that passage. It's awesome. All right, the next section is section 3, verses 13 through 18. Fast, okay? My summary is this. Why does He care for you in this manner? Okay, remember, He's just talking about how He cares for you. He cares for you. Surely the darkness is going to hide me, but no, you're going to see right through it. Why does He care for you in this manner? Because He created you and has purposes for you. Why does He care for you in this manner? Because He created you, has purposes for you. And what's our response? What's it to be? Praise and thankfulness. Praise and thankfulness. We're going to get to that too. All right, verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Okay? Now, He created, right here it's telling us, He created your physical body. Each one of you here listening to me, He put you together. He put you together in your mother's womb, knitting. That's the imagery there. I wanted to bring a knitted hat that our friend Lamar made my son before he was born. You know, she knitted that thing together, okay? This didn't come off the Walmart assembly line from China, right? But this was painstakingly, carefully made for our child, our little boy, knitted together. God, in a similar fashion, but much more intricate than that even, right? Put you together in your mother's womb. This is a great thing, too. And he protected you, and he brought you to be. He was behind that, superintending that. Somebody I was reading to as I studied, he said that God is present at conception and birth. This is a quote. God is present at conception and birth. We are made in his image. And he has special purposes for us, like I talked about. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I praise you. Because, why? Because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. This fearfully can be in an awe-inspiring way. In an awe-inspiring way. That's how he made you. You are wonderfully made by him. And you are his work. You see what it says right there? I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. He's talking about you, that he made you. You're his work. It says, He made you, you are his work. My question to you is, do you know that you are his wonderful work? Do you really know that you are his wonderful work? You may not feel very wonderful. You may not feel very wonderful, notice I said, but you are wonderful. You are his wonderful work. He put you together. He wanted you to be here on this earth. So I have two application kind of points right here. First is this one. And listen, this is very important. First one is this. You may not have been planned by your parents. And they may have very well good told you that you were an accident. That's what people like to say sometimes. But in God's economy, there is no accident, or you would not be here. You would not be here. Every one of you who are here, listening right here, you were meant to be here. God wanted you to be, and that's why you were here. There's no accident in God's economy. There is not. And some of y'all, you know, maybe your parents even told you that. They may even joke about it, okay? But some of y'all, it might really hurt, okay? But it wasn't that way in God's eyes. He purposed you to be. When I was 22, I was out with my dad camping. And basically, my summary story, I guess, is my dad and my mom divorced when I was two or three years old. My mom raised me till I was 12. I moved in with my dad when I was 12. And lived with him until I was 18, and then I went to college after that point, okay? Well, I'm about to graduate from college, and, you know, for a good old time's sake, we went out to Big Bend, which we've been to many times, one of my favorites, okay? We're over there, and I'd been thinking about this stuff in my life and with my dad and just related father-type issues, I'll call them, to summarize, okay? And I start asking him, you know, about all that, about when he left and kind of why and all that. Well, he tells me that he left because he didn't want children. Well, I was a child on the way, and that's why he left. He said that the day I was born, he had in mind to leave. And I was like, oh, thanks for telling me that, you know? Thanks. Like, I really needed to know that. Blessed my life, you know? Well, of course, it didn't. It hurt. It hurt deeply. I was like, ow, that really hurt. The day I was born, you wanted to hit the road. Wow. Now, fortunately, God began showing me about different hurts I had related to all this, and I needed to forgive my dad for a number of things. And I included that one. That was on the last one on my list. I had from earlier till last week, right? And actually, one day I sat down with him. We went through this whole list, and I forgave him all these old things that I needed to forgive him for. Okay, and so we have a great relationship now, and that stuff doesn't hurt me anymore. It really, really, really hurt then. But you know what? The blessing of all that, if I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't relate to anybody here who's gone through that stuff. I wouldn't. I could not relate to that had I not been through that. My dad telling me that. And I was a big person. But it hurt deeply. Okay? And when that happened too, also I mentioned that, you know, forgave my dad and we have a great relationship now and all that. But one thing I also took home from that later on was like, you know, when I have children one day, that I want them. When I hear they're coming, the welcome mat's coming out, red carpet, something's coming out, okay? And 10 years later, when we had our first one, Mia, you know, I wanted her to be. And I mentioned that for several reasons, but one is that was God's heart for you, wanted you to be. And you need to know that. If you don't believe that, you know, don't believe the lie. There's this bad guy named the devil. Satan means accuser, slanderer, okay? I mean, he is real. Pops little lies in our head. We don't want to believe that garbage. Oh, one other thing. I don't even actually even use this word, but I felt specifically, some of y'all might be feeling like, you know, you're a screw-up or something like that. Like you've actually thought those particular words. No, not in God's eyes or God's heart. You're just not. It is a lie. It's a lie. So if that's crossed your mind, I'll give you a hint. It's a lie from hell. God loves you. In 1 John 3, it says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Another scripture there, 1 John 3, 1. All right, we're going to keep moving. Next application point there was believe God's word that he has made you wonderfully. Believe his word, he has made you wonderfully. Accept yourself the way God has made you. Not only that, but praising God for making such a good work. Okay? So this kind of goes a little bit to, in my mind, you know, the physical stuff, kind of body image type stuff, you know. Well, that's kind of how God made us. Not everybody can be as handsome as my little boy. I mean, you know. You know, the rest of us, we're just normal people, right? No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, you know, God made us kind of the way he made us. And he says that it was good. His works are wonderful. So we want to praise him for that. Okay. So we're going to keep moving. We have a lot more ground here. Okay, verse 15. Verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. We're talking again about how God intricately and carefully wove each one of us together. And this word's a little different. It's more like embroidery. Okay, if you know about embroidery, which I didn't, I had to ask around, okay? This is more like embroidering, okay? Weaving you, knitting, and embroidering you together. Now, these verses really have a lot to say about the sanctity of human life. So we're going to talk about this. And some of this is a little heavy too, or not too, but some of this is a little heavy. So listen up to this. Scripture says that God saw our unformed body. That part, unformed body, means a wrapped and unformed mass, which is kind of hard to understand, but basically an embryo. I saw that a few different times. It's talking about on the inside, an embryo. In addition, he determines a span of time for each of us, it keeps a heavenly record of this time before we are even born. One commentator I read said this probably includes the length of life and the tasks he wants us to perform. In Ephesians 2:10, scripture talks about, for we are God's workmanship. We're created to do good works, okay? Basically, before we're even born. Also, Philippians 2 talks about that. God is working in us. God cares about the sanctity of life from the very beginning, in the womb, conception, all throughout. And I want to mention two things here specifically related to this. If some of y'all, you know, you might be like, why are you even saying this? I felt led to say this. Related to this is about the beginning of life. If ladies in here, if you are pregnant or later become pregnant unexpectedly, choose life for your baby. Choose life. You know, we were married. I mean, I'm sure some people, when they're not married, it's even harder or whatever in a sense, but believe God that He will care for you and your child and your family, whatever the situation is. Talk to people. We want to help. We want to do whatever it takes. But if you find yourself in a situation later on, you know, somebody here, or maybe now, you're even thinking about it, cross your mind, or later on, choose life. Consider this as God reaching out to you and saying, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't lay a hand on this baby. Choose life. I have another application for us, too, and this is for all of us. I mean, the first one about choosing life really could be for the men, too. Don't pressure her, okay? So you need to choose life, too. But this is a different one. This is, for all those of us here, there may be somebody here who you hear, but you are struggling deeply. And you're struggling deeply, and you've thought about, you know, I don't think I want to keep on struggling like this anymore. My encouragement to you really is the same. To choose life. He has purposes for you. You're here. He loves you. He has purposes for you. You know, I don't know what you're going through. He understands. Please choose life. You know, don't believe those other things that tell you that's going to kind of be the end of it. We need you here. Others around you need you here. God has good plans for you and purposes for you and for your life. He cares. I've been talking about it. He sees. So my encouragement is to give that stuff to Him, to call out to Him and give Him those hurts, those heartaches, the struggles, to give it to Him. And also, in addition to that, to dig into His Word. He will speak to you through that. And tell some people around you what you're thinking about, what's going on, kind of what's in your head, so we can know and so we can do something to care for you, to serve you, to pray for you, to love you. So if that's, you know, some of y'all kind of thought about that a little bit, thinking maybe, to, you know, these recently, okay, please consider this God's word to you. Say, no, you are special and I need you. Don't lay a hand on my beloved, which is you, okay? All right. Verse 17. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Basically, what I want to say about this is you are always on God's mind, and His thoughts are valuable or precious to us. You're always on His mind. His thoughts are valuable or precious to us. And not to mention, they're super numerous. Okay? Let's go on to the next part. So we've heard all this, and then we have kind of a real different type of section. This kind of section has a real, these Psalms have a real big name. Won't worry about this kind of name anyway. Won't trouble y'all with that name right now. But anyway, I'm going to call this part a word about wicked people. In this section, the psalmist was describing deeds of the wicked and asking God for deliverance from his enemies, okay? And we're not going to have time to get into all this, and, you know, this is like a whole other mess. We'll let Alan cover that part later, right? But I do have a few kind of real practicals. You're not going to get into all this Old Testament context and this other stuff, but just a few practicals real quick, because we got to keep moving a little bit. As far as us, how we deal with wicked people today. Just a few encouragements. If you're thinking about things, about struggles you're going through, or enemies, or somebody who's really hurt you, maybe they're really mean to you, they're ugly to you, you know, whatever, really mad at them, angry at them, whatever. Just a few things, real quick. The first is to encourage you, yes, you can be angry, but sin not. It's from Ephesians. Be angry, but sin not. Second one is encouraging you to channel difficulties to God verbally. When I was studying about this part of the psalm, too, it talked about that these pieces of the psalms were here and other psalms like this, too. to encourage us to verbalize what we're going through to God verbally, and not to take it out on those people verbally or physically, right? The next level, I guess, okay? Bring it to God. Third, we are called to love our enemies and pray for them. Fourth is trust God for the outcome in his time. And we don't know how he's going to handle that, but trust him. Romans also talks about don't take revenge, okay? But trust God, basically. Okay, that's Romans 12. Trust God for the outcome. All right. So that's going to summarize that section. We're going to keep moving. The next section, verses 23 and 24, this is the last part. My summary is to humbly ask God to show you what needs to change in your life, to let him lead you to truly live for eternal things. Humbly ask God to show you, you know, what needs to change in me, okay? You love me so much, all this stuff. What needs to change? What do you want to be different in me? Ask him to lead us to eternal things. In verse 23, it goes back, in a sense, to verse 1, where it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." That search and know are actually the same words used in verse 1. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." This is a request for God to search us and know us on the inside and to test us as one would test metal. You've heard about that kind of testing? This is that same kind of wording there. And to know our cares. Okay, so now he's saying, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." And when I read this and I studied this, I was thinking, wait a minute, hold on. We just talked about all those verses, especially at the beginning, how God knows everything, and he knows everything about us. He just said that, so why is he saying, again, kind of the same things, do this, "Search me, O God, and know me." And we just said, "You know me, and you're searching me," okay? Well, I believe it's because of David's humble state before God. Because he knew that he wanted to be different. He knew he wanted God to change him. He knew that he wanted not to be the same, but for God to keep making him into that man of God who God wanted him to be. In verse 24, "See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." See if there's any offensive way in me. Another translation uses the word "grievous way in me." Lead me in the way everlasting. I like this translation. This is New Living for verse 24. Check this out. It said, "Point out anything in me that offends you." I have this little computer system. I brought out 8 translations. I read all 8 of them, and I said, wow, this is powerful. "Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." So my application encouragement for us, like I believe David was being here, was to always be hungry and open for God to change us to be more like Jesus. That's our goal. To love God, to love others, make disciples, in essence, to be like Jesus. So my encouragement as we end here is to be hungry for that, to be thirsty for that, that we don't want to be the same. We don't want to be just like we were the other time and last time and whatever. Man, we want to be different. We want to be a lot more like him next year, 12 months from now, next August 21st, 2011, than we are now. And he wants to be active in our lives. And he is as we respond to him. And on that note, too, this is going to be our close and our response time, prayer time. My encouragement to you is real simple. Respond to whatever God is telling you. I know that for some of y'all, God has spoken something. It was a particular part of the verse or something particular that, you know, I said during the message, that God is using those things to speak to some of y'all. Some of y'all maybe deeply. He loves you. Respond. Do whatever he is calling you to do. If you need to get up and come pray around here at the altar, you can do that. If he wants you to stay there and pray there, you can do that. If you kind of want somebody to pray for you also, you can kind of hope they'll come, but, you know, you can also go tell them. That would be okay. Go say, "Hey, will you pray for me about this?" Okay? They're going to pray for you. All right? If you see somebody you know well also and, you know, you want to pray for them, please pray for them. All right? So I'm going to pray, and then we'll go into response time, of course. I'd be glad to pray with you if you'd like to, or my wife, Kathy, Alan, anybody, you know, these guys up here, you know. We'd love to pray for you. All right. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word again. Lord, I thank you for what you spoke, I believe, to many people's hearts. Lord, I thank you for your great love. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Father, your love is great, and sometimes we feel like it's separated from us. Lord, open our eyes to see that nothing can separate us from your love. Open our eyes to understand and believe that you know everything about us and love us still. That's why you're so awesome. That you see and you care. You're taking action to move in our lives. You care about life from beginning to end to in between. You made each person here, and they're not a mess up. Each person here is precious. You care deeply about each one. Yes. Open our eyes, God. Open our minds, open our hearts. Speak to us. Fill us up with your joy and your life and your goodness. I pray that we would respond to whatever you're doing in our lives. Pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.